I'd like now to introduce Jeremiah Zagar. He is an award-winning filmmaker, and his latest film is called In a Dream. It's screening right now at the Center for Contemporary Arts, the CCA, in Santa Fe. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much.
So this is a documentary about your family, and particularly your father, Isaiah Zagar, who is an artist who has covered tens of thousands of square feet of Philadelphia architecture with these beautiful, sprawling mosaic murals. How did you begin this piece? Was it conceived to be a piece about your family, about his artwork in particular?
It started without any real intention. My mother asked me to film him when I was 19, and I was in Philly for the summer, and I thought it would be a way for us to spend time together. And that's what my mother thought, too. And I began filming him, and mostly it wasn't very good. There's not very much that remains from that summer. But then I took him down to West Virginia to a small shack we have down there, and we began more intense interviews, more intimate interviews that I think many fathers and sons go through. And I came out of there 5 days later with 20 hours of footage that was reminded me of the kind of footage that I love from other documentaries. And it was clear that eventually we were going to have this story that was about a man and the memories that built him and the love story between him and his wife. And so we went back every time that something was happening in Philadelphia, something interesting, something that was emotionally moving. And I went back to film my brother coming from rehab and expected it to coincide with my father, who had come out of an institution 29 years earlier. And instead, my father told me that he was having an affair, and the movie transformed from there and became what it is today.
It really has this amazing quality because it's clear to the viewer watching it that you, the filmmaker and son, just simply were home watching these events unfold, and you happen to have your camera, and it's quite surprising for the viewer.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's the beauty of documentary and the beauty of digital video. What we wanted to do very much is to make a film that was very theatrical and very gorgeous, where you were seeing this art and you were seeing these memories composed in a very lyrical and poetic way, and contrast it with the very real, hyper-real reality that we see a lot in television now and in a lot of great documentary films. And, you know, the only way to be part of that reality taking place is to be ever-present. And very much the camera became ever-present within my family over the 7 years that we made the film. And, you know, what happens with the camera is it begins to ask the questions without you even asking them. And so my father, I think, felt very much that he could speak to the camera honestly, even more honestly than he could speak to anybody in our family. And my mother and my brother, for that matter, you know, it becomes sort of a therapist in a way, you know, this unjudgmental object looking and questioning.
I mean, I think if you have a camera around you pointing at you that much, you are speaking to it after the first, I don't know, months or years in a way that you just wouldn't if it was a brand new thing.
Absolutely. I mean, that's certainly what happens. And especially when the camera is held by a relative. I mean, it means that there's, you know, an emotional attachment to that camera, that there's things you can say because there's a wall between you and your son or you and your mother or you and your brother. There becomes, you know, this ability, a safe place it becomes. Whether it's safe or not, that's a question, but it feels that way.
The film is called In a Dream. It's screening at the CCA here in Santa Fe. It's so many different things. It's the portrait of an artist and his work, of a marriage, of a family, of mental illness, of strife and betrayal. Did you, when you were doing this, and especially afterwards when you were editing, did you find that there were some things that really were private that you edited out just simply for the sake of privacy, or not so much?
I mean, privacy in my family is sort of a curse. I think when we keep our lives private, or when my parents have kept their lives private, that's when they've fallen apart. That's when the difficulty has taken place. And so what we did with the film is try to emulate our view on life, which is to be public, you know, that art is an expression of your innermost feelings, that it is completely honest. What we left out in the movie was never because it was too private or not for other people, because I think that's when people connect to art, is when they see something that reminds them of the innermost, you know, feelings that they have. You know, it's like shining a light on the darker spots, you know, in the world.
Right.
It's part of what filmmaking is about. And ultimately, you know, we were able to make the movie because it is a love story, because, you know, my parents do come back together, because there is this hope that resonates throughout the film. I don't know if me as a son could have made that film otherwise.
That was the impression I got, was that it didn't hold back for the sake of privacy. And if it had, it would have been so glaringly obvious that it would have been a detriment to the documentary. And I have to say, it brought up a lot of vulnerabilities which make the person looking at it look at themselves. And above all, this whole question of the difficulty of self-knowledge, no matter how much art you make, it's very humbling.
Absolutely. I mean, I think whenever anybody really takes a look at who they are, my father says, you know, when he watches the movie, he sees these stories that he tells. I mean, some of them over and over again, and he sees his own vulnerability within the stories. He's never seen it before. You know, there's that story of molestation when he's young, and he says, I never thought of it as molestation. But then he's watching it on the screen, and he's watching his eyes drop, and he's watching the sadness that occurs, and he thinks, you know, that is real. There's something there that's deeper than anything I even let myself know. And I think that's the beauty of filmmaking, and that's the excitement of storytelling, is when you can capture something that is unknown, you know, something that people in their everyday lives don't acknowledge as being real. I mean, that's the miracle of storytelling.
It really is, and it's, I mean, the film is a kind of externalizing of his stories, and your film is kind of a big narrative which embraces the many narratives of your family. And, you know, this question of the molestation, that was a very poignant moment in the film where your father talks about this man, and I wouldn't have brought it up unless you mentioned it, because I don't know how much of the film you want to give away, but it wasn't, to him at the time, a traumatic event. And it brings up a lot of questions that I think probably, you know, countless number of people are sitting in a therapist's office somewhere trying to deal with things that at the time didn't seem to bother them that much, but then resonate throughout their lives. And it kind of ends up, at least for me, being a mystery. Like, what was the significance of this particular event?
Absolutely. I mean, love and life and memory are all such complex issues. And I think when you watch, you know, a Hollywood film, a lot of times they try to wrap those issues up in a bow. And what we try to do with our film, instead of answering questions, is present them, you know, to say to the audience, what does this mean? What is love? Or what is molestation? Or where is the line between family and honesty and privacy? You know, we're not saying these are the answers. Instead, we're saying these are the questions. And that's very much the idea of that scene. And overall, with the rest of the film, you know, these things are very complex, and they're, you know, a little screwed up and a little exciting, but I think that's, you know, the way life is.
You say when we made this film, do you feel that it was a family production, or what do you mean by we?
Well, I mean, I'm certainly not the only author of the film. I mean, my family are a huge part of it. My producer, Jeremy, is a huge part of it. My executive producers, Geraldine and Ross. I mean, even the company that's releasing the film now, I mean, film, that's what's so amazing about film, as opposed to the kind of work that my father does, which is very solitary. You know, he goes out every day and puts piles on walls and covers a massive amount of, you know, space in Philadelphia. But what's beautiful about film is that you're creating something with a group of people. So I always say we, because I think it's a misnomer that films are created by one person, that there is a director and they're making it themselves. I mean, even a film that's this personal and this intimate is made by so many people. I mean, so many people I love, and my editor, my cinematographer. I mean, they're all incredible, incredible artists as well.
I noticed that two of your executive producers are people we've had on the air. Pamela Tanner-Bull, whose movie is called Who does she think she is? And Ross Kaufman, who made Born into Brothels, both of them incredible movies that have screened here in Santa Fe. So this movie has a great pedigree.
Yeah, I mean, those you know, we're standing on the shoulders of giants in a way. You know, it's like those are the people that made it possible, and they're the people that that mentored us through the process. You know, I'm a young filmmaker. And they've lived, and they understand, you know, what it is to make a movie. And I've learned so much, you know, throughout this process. And Pamela's movie is, you know, very much akin to our film, and so is Ross's. You know, they're really about creation. And I love that. I love films that are about creation because, you know, that's the process that we go through as filmmakers.
We're talking to Jeremiah Zagar, and the film is called In a Dream. It's screening at the CCA here in Santa Fe. It is so astoundingly well-crafted that I can't even describe it. People will just have to go see it. Were you conceiving of the craft of it as you went along, or did it really come together in post-production? I imagine you had just so much material to choose from.
Well, absolutely. I mean, in the same way my father is an artist and has, you know, based his work on, you know, every great artist in history, the same way I'm a filmmaker. And I make films because I love films. I mean, I thought when I was a kid I would be a film critic because I would spend all day in the movies. But when we were making this film, we very much wanted to make a film that looked like the films that we loved, the films of Errol Morris and the films of Werner Herzog or the films of Ken Loach and Mike Leigh. And we wanted to make something that was a little different, something that felt, you know, a mosaic of those filmmakers who we loved. And we wanted to make it big and beautiful and shot on 35. You know, we have these dreams as filmmakers to create something that is new and exciting and, you know, it takes much longer than we necessarily think it will. But the idea was to make a film that was half lyrical and half hyperreal, to sort of mix these two ideas of documentary, that you were taking a documentary that that was very poetic and very surreal and mix it with something that was much more Maisel's Brothers, much more reality-based, and to see if you could balance that. And it was really difficult at first. But we did it, and part of the way we did it also is by, and this came later, is by taking my father's work and my father's vision of the way he creates work, which is, you know, these incredible mosaics, and adding it to film to say that you can make a film in the same way. You can use any kind of footage. You can take, you know, you can take animation, and you can take slides and archival, and you can use it to make a vision on the screen for the audience, as long as you're letting the audience know what you're doing, as long as you're not, you know, stepping ahead of them, as long as the film is still for them.
And it does really succeed in that. It's great because the film is a metaphor with all these mosaics with the mirrors and liquid colors, and the kind of mosaic editing methods that you're talking about reflect the mosaic of your father's work. Tell us more about Isaiah Zagar's work, your father, because among other things, the film is a documentary of this artist who has covered such a big chunk of Philadelphia with his vision.
I mean, my father is a madman, absolutely. He wakes up every morning at 6 in the morning and begins working, works for 13 to 15 hours. He created this work after he came out of the mental institution when he was 29. He had a nervous breakdown, and they came out, made love with my mother, and conceived my brother, and decided the only way to keep himself sane was to be constantly working. And so he began to decorate this home that my parents had on South Street, which was, at the time in Philadelphia, a very decrepit neighborhood. And he would go out every morning and do yoga in the middle of the street and hang out with all these old Jewish men, and they would say he was doing his yogurt, and they would watch these incredible mosaics be built. And at this point, they are a monument in Philadelphia. I mean, they are as important as any work of art in the city. And I would say they're world class. I mean, they look like Gaudi or, you know, Hundertwasser. They are an emblem of what a human being can create over an amount of time. And in the artwork is the story of our family. My father says, you know, somebody once came up to him when he was first beginning, and he said, "These are amazing. I mean, I can't believe how incredible these walls that you've erected so quickly are." He said, but you're never going to be famous because all you do is make work about your family. And my father, at one of these Q&As, said, you know, what's happened is that I've made the whole world my family. And really it's happening. I mean, on South Street, you see people come by the Magic Garden that he's created, which is this city block of tile and mosaic and sculpture, and it is open to the public, and it's just, you know, an explosion for kids and for, you know, residents, and it is the most, I mean, incredible, beautiful thing. And you can see it online. I mean, if you type in his name, they come up, but really the only way to see it, besides in the movie, is to go to Philadelphia and walk through this garden.
Was he self-taught? Did he go to art school?
My father did go to art school. He went to Pratt, and my mother actually went to art school, too. She went to Cooper Union, and they met at one of her art shows. It's a wonderful story that's not in the movie, but hopefully will be on the DVD. But she and him moved to Philadelphia, and he had a nervous breakdown. And I sort of think of that as an unlearning process, you know, that all the stuff that he had learned in art school sort of disappeared. And he says, in a way, he decided to become like a wave. Now the wave hits the shore and leaves detritus on the beach, you know, all these little tiny shells and pieces from the ocean. And he says, you know, that's his ideal. He would like to be a wave on a wall, leaving, you know, his imprint that's perfect and beautiful every time.
It's funny you say that, because there's an image in the movie of him throwing some color down on the ground, and it comes toward the camera and the person watching it in a wave, and you feel like you're on this sort of crazy blue ocean beach.
Yeah, that's very good that you picked up on that. I mean, that's certainly the idea, is to, you know, make the art into something more metaphorical. We shot that with this incredible lens called a snorkel lens that goes down from the camera and touches the ground. Otherwise, you can't do that. And my cinematographer, Eric, made that happen. And I think it's just a wonderful compliment to the film.
Yeah, very much
so. There was this idea.
Go ahead.
Sorry. I was just saying there was an idea that all the art should be tangible. I hate watching a movie about art and you look at it and you can't touch it and you can't feel it, you know. And we wanted that to permeate through the entire film.
It's funny, because my friend and I, who were watching it together last night, discussed at some length, how did they do that shot? So it's nice that you told us, for people who haven't seen it, which it's just opening now this past weekend. They'll have to go and check that out. This film has won a lot of awards at film festivals. When you talk to audiences, what are they responding to? Can you get a kind of a sense of what nerve it's touching in people?
Yeah, I mean, I think people are excited, first of all, because they're seeing something they don't usually see. I think there's something about the film that's unique and beautiful, but I also think they respond to the honesty. You know, we have people coming up to us after the screening and weeping and, you know, hugging us, and it's a reaction that I didn't expect. I never expected, because you assume, or you worry, or you fear when you first make one of these films that's so intimate and so personal that nobody else will understand. But it's not true. I mean, there are people all over the country. I mean, everywhere we've been, from Austin, Texas, to North Carolina. I mean, even all over the world. I mean, it's Belfast and Belgrade and London. I mean, it's played everywhere, and everybody feels, you know, this genuine connection, I think, to the honesty. And everybody understands that family and love is fragile and complicated. And I think they're excited to see that on the screen, to say, look, somebody else has acknowledged that, you know, everything is not perfect, that these things are real and vital and still beautiful.
Jeremiah Zagar is a filmmaker. His film is called In a Dream. It's a documentary screening at the Center for Contemporary Arts in Santa Fe. You can find out more by going on the web to ccasantafe.org. Jeremiah Zagar, thank you so much for being with us on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe and for making this wonderful film.
Thank you so much for having me, and hopefully I'll see you in Santa Fe one day.
Excellent. We're going to take a break right now, and when we come back, we'll be talking to Issa Nyapaga about Cameroon. Please stay tuned to KSFR.